Welcome to Campaign Crunch, our concise companion to Socially Unacceptable. Here in this shorter version of the show, we'll delve into the anatomy of real-world marketing campaigns, dissecting successes, missteps, and everything in between, all in just 15 minutes. I'm Chris Norton, and as always, I'm joined by my business partner, Will Ockenden, and together we bring our experience of working in social media marketing, content creation, and public relations. Each episode of Campaign Crunch will tackle a specific campaign or crisis, meticulously examining its strategy, execution, and most importantly, the key takeaways for you. We'll analyse both the viral sensations and social media horror shows, extracting those actionable insights that'll save you time marketing your own brand. And I'll be honest with you, the whole reason we're doing this is because we do it with our team. I've got a team of 30 creatives here. We get together once a week and someone will present a campaign that really has inspired them over the last month. So why do we share campaigns internally every week? I'll tell you why, because we want to share expertise, inspirational stories, and just best practice so we can share the best work and great work that you guys are doing out there. So we sometimes just look at what's happening, share it in the team, and I felt that that would be a brilliant thing to bring to this show. So I hope you enjoy Campaign Crunch. It's a much smaller, shorter version of Socially Unacceptable. 15 minutes. Here we go. Well, welcome to the first... Oh, no, hang on. Well, welcome to the inaugural episode of...
That does mean first.
That's why I said it.
Why did you change it from first, though?
He's trying to sound smarter.
You're dissatisfied with the word first.
Is first not good enough? Shall I go inaugural or first?
Oh my God.
I quite like inaugural.
This is not a good start.
Welcome to the show.
Right.
For the first episode of Creative Crunch, we're joined by Emily Malt. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, finally.
So Emily, tell our listeners what you do for us.
I am an account director here at Prohibition, so I work primarily on the consumer clients, mostly F&B, FMCG, yeah.
Yeah, good. And today, because it's our first, nobody knows what's going to happen, so you're going to walk us through a campaign that you've shared with the team. We share campaigns each and every week, and the idea is that we share knowledge and expertise, and it gets the creative juices flowing. So what campaign have you got for us today?
I'm going to talk through the Norwich City FC and Samaritans campaign that was launched around World Mental Health Day on the 10th of October last year. It was a video campaign, so they led with a video activation. It lived on social and was amplified in the press. It was all around raising awareness of men's mental health, focusing on the theme of suicide prevention, and urging people to sort of speak up and seek help. So the video, it was recorded in-house and on-site at Norwich City FC, so fairly low-budget campaign. And I don't know if you guys saw it, did you?
Yeah.
Why don't you explain the narrative of it? We'll share a link in the show notes.
Will's favourite saying of every Socially Unacceptable.
Do we have show notes?
Do we even have show notes?
We should have show notes. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, we've got show notes.
We'll share a link in the show notes.
The micropod has show notes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tyler, add it.
I'm sure you've seen it, but why don't you explain the storyline?
Essentially, it is two guys who come to the football every week, every game. They sit next to each other every time. One of them is more extroverted, quite chatty, looks really cheery and in a great mood. And one of them is a bit more sort of low-key, almost looks quite sad, quite introverted, and it follows their journey, their interactions, and then at the end it shows a blank seat, and it's actually the seat of the more extroverted person, who obviously is no longer with us. So extremely emotive topic, quite shocking, safe to say. I cried, shock, horror. But for me, the simplicity of the campaign made it even more impactful. You know, it's quite a normal, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see, scene, but I think it brings the message home even more, that, you know, anyone and everyone around you could be struggling and you might not necessarily know about it. They might not outwardly show that.
Yeah, I think the shocking thing is that it's the guy that you think it isn't going to be. It's like a twist, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I did think when I saw this video, it why Norwich? Was it Norwich City and the Samaritans? And I was like, why? But it was such a clever put together video.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a relatively low league football club. Are they in the Championship?
Yeah,
in the
Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's
low league. Sorry to all the Norwich City fans.
I don't think we've got any listeners in Norwich, have we?
Maybe.
Well, not now, we haven't.
No, we certainly haven't now.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, I mean, I think the visibility it got was extraordinary. And, you know, I suppose, I mean, digging into the distribution then and the amplification of it, it was just a video, was it? Or was it supported with a broader comms campaign?
As far as I know, it was just a video, and it sat on X, TikTok and Instagram. So I think it had 43 million total views, and that was in the first 48 hours.
Amazing.
So massive. 50 million views on X, 500,000 on TikTok. And it also achieved more than 20 pieces of really positive media coverage. So industry titles like Famous Campaigns, Consumer Nationals, Daily Mail, and even the BBC covered it. And then more sort of cult channels like Lad Bible also covered it. So it was real widespread media coverage.
I mean, it was a true sort of viral piece of content, wasn't it? I think this is a relatively new trend we're seeing where people will create an amazing piece of content and that in itself becomes a media story.
Yeah.
You know, and first and foremost, it was a piece of content, not a media story, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And you say 10 bits of national, I'm sure it got way more than that. I mean, it felt like it was, everyone was talking about it. It was a genuine water cooler moment, wasn't it? Everyone you speak to understands, has seen the video. Or
I just like the fact it makes you think about asking, I suppose the whole overall message is, even no matter how happy people look out there, you need to ask your friends, are you all right? Because it was aimed at men, this, wasn't it? And men not talking, men just going to football, celebrating. It's the ride of the video as well. They're celebrating every goal and, like, basically, you know, hugging each other all the way through. And then one of them looks really down. But it turns out that it's the one that looks delighted that's struggling.
And this idea of kind of playing with the viewers' perception of what's going to happen actually isn't new, and there's a tradition of videos that have done similar things. There was one recently I saw, a very powerful similar video for Alzheimer's, where a woman is sat at a bus stop and there's a guy next to her asking about her baby, and it's a bit of a weird kind of conversation, and then it turns out that it's actually her dad who's forgotten that. It's very, very moving, actually. I think we'll put a link to that. But it feels like this kind of way of playing with the viewers' perceptions just keeps on working. I mean, years ago, The Guardian did a really cool campaign where there's a businessman walking down the street and there's a punk with a Mohican running towards him screaming, and the audience immediately thinks, you know, this was done in the 80s or something. The audience thinks the punk's going to attack him. And then at the last minute, he dives towards him and there's something falling from the sky and he's actually getting him out of the way. And that feels to me the same kind of concept where you're playing with expectations. And it was absolutely brilliant. So, and again, all of these are themes where it's a stunt or it's a piece of content that then generates media coverage. And I think that's why this Norwich City
Anything
one works
so
well.
It's got a twist that makes you think a little bit differently and taps into emotion like that. Anything that's emotional is what really resonates to me, and that's why this campaign from Norwich City and the Samaritans is a great campaign, because you're watching it all the time and then there was a massive twist at the end, and I just felt it was well executed and low budget, right? Relatively low budget.
Yeah, I think so. The insight that the campaign was based around was a piece of data that revealed the average ticket holder for Norwich City is the same average age as men that are most at risk of taking their own life.
Interesting.
So the whole campaign was kind of centered on that piece of insight. And I think as well, they did a really good job of leveraging the platform of the football club and the whole sort of football industry in a wider sense to reach more of a mass audience, but one that was so well aligned to their target demographic. I thought it was really simple, but really smart. Another sort of part of the campaign that they did was to partner up with all of the teams in the Championship. And they posted this creative on their social channels ahead of the match with Coventry, I think it was.
Right.
Because I think they do, I mean, not the biggest football fan, but I think they post lineups ahead of their games, who's going to play, whatever.
1 hour before, yeah.
Yeah, so in this instance, they actually replaced it with sort of family names, so mum, sister, brother, father. So I thought that was quite hard-hitting. Mm. And they also, which I thought was a nice touch, all of the club sponsors gave up their positions on the kit to make way for the Samaritans branding for that game only. So
That's great.
It was a really nice kind of joined up campaign.
So a really clever kind of authentic amplification strategy surrounding that can go some way to explain why so many million people watched it.
Yeah.
Definitely watch it if you haven't seen it.
What's your view to me, this feels very purpose driven.
Yeah.
What's your view around that, and around, you know, are you seeing this in lots of other campaigns at the moment, this idea of kind of brand purpose?
Yeah, I think its main objective, from what I can see online, was to raise awareness. But equally, as a side effect, it really drove engagement. So a lot of people were engaging with the campaign, but also opening up about their own stories. So there were loads of comments left on the social pages, even on the coverage. People were talking about it, went viral on LinkedIn, people within the industry talking about it, but also people sort of saying, you know, wow, you know, I lost someone close to me a few years ago. Mm. You know, people were opening up about their own experiences. And I think people wouldn't do that if they didn't think it was authentic.
No, it was. It felt very authentic.
Yeah.
For people who've been affected by suicide, yeah. It was, yeah, shocking, but good and authentic and well executed.
And that insight you mentioned actually makes a lot of sense. And I think it's so important to anchor campaigns in insight. It makes them much more robust, doesn't it? Otherwise, it's just a good idea, not anchored in anything. So that's encouraging that they did have that insight.
Okay, and every guest that we get on the show, Emily, we always ask, what's your biggest fuck-up and why? And I've got the fear now that it's probably going to be something that incriminates Prohibition, but what's yours?
You might actually remember this quite well, but we were running some paid advertising. It was doing really well. I was really proud of it, monitoring it all the time. Went home, came in the next day, had an email from the client. Can you just check the spend and the budget on this campaign? So I went in, thought, yeah, everything will be fine. No, was not fine. I'd actually not set the campaign end date, and the campaign was just spending.
If I remember rightly, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that instead of setting a daily limit...
Yes.
Instead of setting a lifetime limit, you'd set the daily limit to the lifetime limit. Mm. So say the campaign was £500 for the lifetime of the campaign, you'd set it per day.
Oh, yeah, it was really spending. It was really spending. Luckily, though, I managed to dodge the bullet because they came back and said, this is the best result we've ever had on paid social. So managed to turn that right around.
That. And thankfully for that, this was in the golden days of Meta, wasn't it? When things actually worked. And
Before iOS 17 or 7 or whatever, whichever one it was, where they removed cookies. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, very good. I remember that. Good fuck up.
Yeah,
thank you.
It didn't actually.
I'll keep them coming.
We offered to pay for it, but the client offered to. We offered to pay for it, didn't we? It was our mistake.
No, they were like, brilliant.
Said, which is very nice of them. Anyway,
thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming
on.
Bye. You did a good job there. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the endless cycle of social media updates? Feeling like you're shouting into the abyss without any true engagement or impact? Imagine if your social media efforts could be streamlined, targeted, and effective, where each post you make resonates with your core audience and builds your brand effortlessly. Introducing Social 360, our comprehensive social media audit and strategy program designed to turn your online presence into a powerful, engaging, and rewarding experience. With Social 360, you'll learn how to craft impactful content, engage with your audience more authentically, and seal real results in your engagement and reach. If you'd like to find out more about whether the Prohibition 360 is the right fit for your social media goals, then I invite you to use the link in the show notes to book a 30-minute strategy call with me. During that call, you and I will work on your social media strategy and objectives, and leaving it, you will have a custom recommendation for your social media strategy in 2024. So just click the link in the podcast, and I'll see you there.